the slogan "Keep 'em flying" is taking on a new urgency. Pinnacle Airlines will be directed through bankruptcy by a new leader. And extreme pilot Mateusz Lenarczyk is home from his around-the-world adventure. This is Aero News for Friday, April 20th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. EAA and the Warbirds of America are joining with the Commemorative Air Force, Collings Foundation, and other Warbird groups in opposition of a proposed amendment to the House National Defense Authorization Act that could have a devastating effect on the fleet of civilian-operated historic military aircraft. The amendment, introduced by Republican Michael Turner of Ohio, would bar the Department of Defense from loaning or gifting any U.S. military aircraft or parts to any entity except those that would put the aircraft on static display, such as in a museum. The Department of Defense has tried numerous times previously to ground military aircraft flown by civilians, even though their position is not supported by any safety or security mandate. EAA's Vice President of Government Relations, Doug McNair, says, quote, "We can be assured that the U.S. military has neither the funding nor the mandate to preserve these aircraft in flying condition, which would leave only the option for them to be used as static museum displays. That would truly be a tragedy and a loss of our aviation and military heritage," end quote. Representative Turner's district includes Dayton, Ohio, home of the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force, which has been adamant in its attempts to ground former U.S. military aircraft. Ironically, Dayton is the same site where this week more than 20 B-25 bombers, preserved and flown by private groups and individuals, gathered in a public spectacle to honor the 70th anniversary of the famed Doolittle raid on Japan. EAA and Warbirds of America recommend that members contact their congressional representatives, urging them to voice their opposition to the Turner Amendment and in support of maintaining the private ability to restore and fly these historic aircraft. Pinnacle Airlines announced a leadership transition under which John Spangers, currently chief operating officer of the company, will succeed Sean Menke as chief executive officer, effective June the 1st. Spangers has been COO at Pinnacle since September 2011 and was president of Mesaba Aviation prior to joining Pinnacle. Menke has chosen to resign from the company on June 1st and will work closely with Spangers and the other members of Pinnacle's leadership team to support a seamless transition over the next 5 weeks. Pinnacle does not anticipate this transition will impact the timeline of the company's Chapter 11 proceedings or Pinnacle's ability to successfully restructure and emerge from Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Donald J. Breeding, chairman of the board of Pinnacle Airlines Corporation, in a statement on Thursday said, quote, "Given his prior Chapter 11 experience, John is particularly well-suited to lead Pinnacle's ongoing turnaround efforts," end quote. Extreme pilot Mateusz Lenarczyk touched down back in Slovenia yesterday after successfully circumnavigating the world in a Pipistrel Virus SW914 Turbo. His flight proved that the Pipistrel Virus SW914 Turbo aircraft is capable of crossing both the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans, as well as the Indian Ocean. It is able to reach the extreme heights required to fly over Mount Everest and can withstand both the drastically low temperatures of the Antarctic and the high temperatures and humidity when crossing the equator. Mateusz arrived in Slovenia Thursday at 1600 local time, landing at the same airport where he began his odyssey. The initial plan was to welcome Mateusz as a guest of honor at the largest European aviation expo, the Aero Expo 2012 in Friedrichshafen, Germany. But because of bad weather and icing conditions, it was not possible for him to cross the Alps, as the weather forecast for Slovenia was equally bad for the following 5 days, which might have prevented Mateusz from returning home safely. He decided to head straight for home. Pipistrel supported this decision because safety must come first. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper signed a bill into law Thursday that he says will position Colorado to capitalize on significant new opportunities in commercial space transportation. Governor Hickenlooper signed Senate Bill 35 during an industry luncheon at the 28th National Space Symposium in Colorado Springs. The law limits liability for companies that would operate space flights from the proposed Spaceport Colorado. While the bill is a big step for Colorado, the state has already made giant leaps to expand its aerospace economy, with private sector leaders pushing forward on commercial development in space exploration. In fact, in the past year, according to the Metro Denver Economic Development Corporation's annual industry cluster study, Colorado leaped forward to rank as the number 2 aerospace state for private sector employment overtaking Florida. In addition to Colorado's efforts to pursue spaceport status, statewide industry stakeholders are also actively working to expand Colorado's reach in unmanned aerial systems research and development. With its variety of airspace, environmental conditions, and terrain, Colorado provides an ideal location for federal, state, and private UAS operations. The Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, SAFE, has weighed in on the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, Pilot Certification and Qualification Requirements for Air Carrier Operations. Their four-page response was formulated based on input solicited from SAFE's nearly 700 members and addresses four central questions. 1. Should all pilots who transport passengers be required to hold an air transport pilot certificate with the appropriate aircraft category, class, and type ratings? 2. Should the FAA permit academic credit in lieu of required flight hours or experience? 3. Should the FAA establish a new commercial pilot certificate endorsement that would address concerns about the operational experience of newly hired commercial pilots, require additional flight hours, and possibly credit academic training? And 4. Would an air carrier-specific authorization on an existing pilot certificate improve safety? Although SAFE provides justifications for its position, the short answer to the above was an unequivocal no on issues 1, 3, and 4, and a no on issue number 2, permitting academic credit in lieu of flight hours, unless academic experience can demonstrably produce equally or more proficient pilots. When Aero News continues, a gaggle of new stars are clamoring for NASA's attention, resurrecting the Saturn V's F1 engines, and don't text and fly.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We continue now with Aero News for Friday, April 20th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Several million young stars are vying for NASA's attention, and no, we're not talking about a new Brat Pack or Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie. These stars are of the terrestrial type, found in a new NASA Hubble Space Telescope image of a raucous stellar breeding ground in 30 Doradus, a star-forming complex located in the heart of the Tarantula Nebula. The new image comprises one of the largest mosaics ever assembled from Hubble photos and includes observations taken by Hubble's Wide Field Camera 3 and Advanced Camera for Surveys. NASA and the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore released the image in celebration of Hubble's 22nd anniversary. 30 Doradus is the brightest star-forming region in our galactic neighborhood and home to the most massive stars ever seen. The nebula is 170,000 light-years away, a small satellite galaxy of the Milky Way. 30 Doradus is one of the only star-forming regions that astronomers can study in detail, revealing the stages of star birth, from embryonic stars a few thousand years old and still wrapped in cocoons of dark gas, to behemoths that die young in supernova explosions. Well, even as Amazon.com's Jeff Bezos is hoping to bring Apollo 11's engines up from the briny deep, Dynetics and Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne announced Wednesday they are teaming up to resurrect the Saturn V rocket's mighty F1 engine to power NASA's planned heavy-lift launch vehicle, saying the Apollo-era engine will offer significantly more performance than solid-fueled boosters currently under development. NASA plans to award $200 million to multiple companies later this year for 30 months of design and risk reduction work on advanced booster concepts for the agency's Space Launch System, a powerful, heavy-lifting rocket designed to dispatch astronaut crews to deep space destinations, including asteroids, Mars, and the Moon. Steve Cook, the director of space technologies at Dynetics Incorporated, says, quote, "The ability to come back and offer NASA a resurrection of probably one of the most venerated successful engines ever, the F1, is very neat. The cool factor on this is very high." End quote. 5 F1 engines flew on the first stage of each Saturn V rocket's upper stage. The Saturn V flew 13 times, launching astronauts to the moon and lofting NASA's Skylab space station into Earth orbit, making it one of the most reliable engines ever. We're all keenly aware of the dangers of texting and driving, but how about texting and flying? The Australian Transport Safety Bureau has released a report on a May 2010 incident wherein a Jetstar flight aborted a landing within 500 feet of the ground because the pilot was preoccupied with his mobile phone. The pilot allegedly forgot to turn off the phone before departure, and around 2,000 feet into the descent for landing in Singapore, his phone began beeping with text messages. At 1,000 feet, the co-pilot felt something was wrong but couldn't put his finger on it, the it being that the landing gear had not yet been lowered. Eventually, an attempt to lower the gear was met with a too-low ground warning, and the landing was aborted. A lack of communication and failure to follow checklist was blamed for the incident, but Jetstar had since instituted a pre-flight warning for its pilots to switch off their phones, just like the rest of us in the back of the plane. Well, if your dream job is one where you get to fly to numerous local and regional fly-ins and pancake breakfast while posting photos and videos of your adventure on various social media and topping it all off with a trip to EAA's Air Venture in Oshkosh, then you may be just the person Cessna is looking for. Cessna Aircraft plans to fill 10 paid positions for summer work doing just that, flying the 162 Skycatcher throughout the country and waving the Cessna flag. Applicants must be at least a junior in college, with preference given to those studying marketing, business, or aviation administration. You should hold at least a CFI rating with a minimum of 250 hours, 500 is preferred, have a clean flying record, professional attitude, get the recommendation of a university department head, and be a target height and weight of plus or minus 6 feet and 190 pounds. You'll be asked to submit a video clip and writing samples, as the position requires communicating with fans and followers about your flying experiences in different formats suitable for Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. The deadline for applications is April 30th. Well, let's see. Except for the CFI in flight experience, the height and weight requirements, and the university recommendation, I'm a shoo-in. I wonder if they'll give extra credit for eating pancakes. On second thought, guess I'd better not give up my day job flying this microphone. Well, that's it for this edition of Aero News. Thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer, and I'm off to the local IHOP for a short stack with blueberry syrup. And you're welcome to join me as you are now cleared for departure.